Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today, we're going to go on, we're continuing on with our little session here. We're talking about raising up the standard. We're going to go into Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me, starting out with verse 1. In the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel. And they said to me, the survivors who are left in captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan that in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when the wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. And I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city of the place of my father's tombs lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire? Verse 5 together. Now I said to the king, if it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Let's pray. Father, today we're going to rebuild the things that have been torn down in our lives. We're going to look at the devastation of the things that the enemy has taken captive in our lives. And Lord, we're going to look to you as the one who can rebuild those things that have been torn down. And Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you give me the unction just to preach in a way that I've probably never preached before. On this day, I pray, God, that folks who have had, whose lives have been devastated, the walls that surrounded them have been torn down. Lord, I pray that you raise up a new standard today. Raise up some faith in their heart to believe you for those things that they thought were that were lost and desolate. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that we leave this place built up, edified, and strengthened to do the work of the ministry. For I ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody shout it out.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, there's much to be said about the times that we live in when it comes to the process that we go through to arrive at decisions. And although there's a lot of things that happen, but in spite of the instant access that's available through social media and search engines, we have left ourselves vulnerable to the invasion and captivity of the things this world by the lack of standards to spiritually filter the gateway to our minds. It's open access. It's a field day. Plainly put, we must rebuild the walls and reestablish the gates to uphold the standards of a true believer of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about the fact that there's a standard that God has. And it's the Word of God that will filter the things that come into your mind. And so I just have three questions that we're going to propose today. First of all, have you experienced an invasion from the enemy trying to extinguish your passion and devotion to Jesus? You might as well say amen. They'll try to get you to believe in other things that this isn't the only way. It's one of the many ways. Multiculturalism and a bunch of other things, they put everything together, that there's a little bit of right in all religion. Just take the best parts of all of it, put it together, and you'll be a mess indeed. Amen. I'm going to go to number 2 because I could stay at number 1 for a long time. Are you desiring to see your life and the lives of those around you rebuilt to embrace the power and presence of the Lord? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need some rebuilding. In some ways, we're going to talk about some tearing down in a few moments, but that's another story. Number three, would you like to change your status from survivor to a powerful force against the kingdom of darkness?
Amen.
Some of you just barely getting by. I think you ought to be a force in the world today, rather than just trying to just kind of survive and try to make it through. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I pray that you'll pay attention to the Holy Spirit of what he says to you today. First of all, we must secure our minds by rebuilding the gates. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 6. For a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. Folks, I need to teach us, all of us, to turn back the battle at the gate of your mind. Because if you don't, once you allow the enemy access, he will take over. He'll cause you to rethink all the things. Well, it doesn't really take all that. Anybody ever tell you it doesn't take all that? You're just a little fanatical. A little dabble, do you? A little bit of Jesus. Mix it up with everything else and you'll be all right. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Anyway. The first order of business is for rebuilding the gates is prayer. Four of you believe that, at least four. It's prayer. Some of us don't know how to pray. But I know it's not knowing how to pray, it's taking the time just to pray. Jesus said, not if you pray, he says, when you pray. This is how you do it. And if you don't do anything in the first moment, say, Father, I need your help. That's prayer.
Amen.
There ain't no formula. He said, oh, most holy Father who created the universe and the heavens and the stars and swept the Milky Way and brought all these things into captivity. Oh, who has done all? Will you stop this nonsense and call Jesus? I need your help right now. Help me, Jesus. He doesn't need a formal introduction. He needs submission to who he is. The Bible says prayer is the righteous avail as much. Well, we must get an accurate assessment in prayer as to the condition of the walls and gates in our life. If you don't want to know, don't ask him. Because he'll tell you. Some of you are tore up from the floor up. I'm going to leave you alone for a minute. I'll be back. We carry in our body the power and presence of God. That's the good news. Inside you, the Holy Spirit dwells. If you're a believer today, raise your hand. If you're a believer today, wave your hand at me. Don't you know Jesus is living inside of you right now? But the devil is outside, and you need to mind the gates. He's trying to take every bit of Jesus out of you and to deactivate you because you're a powerful weapon in the hands of the Spirit of God. Well, anyway, we must maintain the proper focus on the Lord at all times. Well, we must allow the Holy Spirit to monitor the entrance into the gateway of our minds. And I need to tell you that the Bible is not vacant of those things that will help us do that. Consider this. We filter our thoughts through the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Here's the one that's going to get you. Self-control. You were cruising for a while, and you put on the brakes. Self-control. He says, against such there is no law. See, sometimes we get out of control and we need some self-control. Now, it talks about self-control, it's of yourself, you'll never be able to control it. But the Holy Spirit, when he's in your life, all these fruit are manifest in the times when you want to say that word. When you're driving along the street and they cut you off. The Holy Spirit will rise up and say, that's okay. And you can give them a blessing in the name of Jesus instead of, well, I'm going to leave the other part of it alone. But this is, will guard your mind. And the thing about it is, listen to this. It says, the first thing he puts on there is to love. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation means that some people you love and some people you don't. Some people get on your last nerve. Yeah. This Holy Spirit desires to be the umpire of your thoughts. Out! Get out! He'll let you know when you're off course. And there's nothing to argue. Try to argue with an umpire. See how far you get. They'll take you out of the game. They don't care what you say. That was no strike. Out! Let me move on. The fruit of the Spirit will keep our minds pure and ready to be exposed to the powers of darkness. Well, Nehemiah interceded with prayer and confession of realizing the standard of what it would take for divine intervention. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. This is what it says. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you. This is how he's praying. You now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Let me stop right there. Don't go before God blaming everybody else. Talk to him about you. See, we get so mad. God, you need to take care of her. You need to take care of him. Take care of the government. Take care of Donald Trump and everybody else. We talk about you right now. And you're a mess. Own your own stuff. So God, I could be kinder. I could be more gentle. I could be more loving. I could be all these different things. Lord, help me to be all you want me to be. Come on. We have acted very corruptly against you. We have not kept the, Lord Jesus. We have not kept the commandments. This is not a legalism thing, but if we just do the bare minimum. The Bible says, owe no man anything but to, some of you don't even know that verse. Owe no man anything but to love him. And so, that being the case, we've not kept your commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant, Moses. You know what he's saying? We haven't kept just the standards, the basics. And we want to get into the other zone of situations. Humility is the key to rebuilding the gates that will protect you. Humble yourselves daily before God. And, you know, I guess the idea of humility doesn't really cross the horizon of things, because some of us feel like we're persecuted and it's time for me to rise up and take my place and let you know who I am. We already know. Just thought I'd let you get a little clue there. Taking ownership of your sins, your shortcomings. I read this. This is really kind of funny. I read this thing. It was a little joke in a magazine the other day. And this lady, she went to a store, and she's trying on clothes. And she tried on one thing, and then finally she goes up to the salesperson. She says, "Nothing seems to fit me in my size." Some of you will get that tomorrow. You ladies know what I'm talking about, don't you? You went to Rack for the eights. You took it back there and said, "I don't know what's wrong with these folks. They done changed the size on the, I know I'm an eight. I want to tell you, you are delusional. The standard for an eight has not changed. Your body has changed, but the standard for an eight is still an eight. And the way you can get healed today is not trying to change the standard. You need to change you to fit the standard." Oh, Lord. Don't even bother sending me an email. I won't read it. I'm offended. I'm hurt that you'd say something like that about me. It ain't your hormones. Leave it alone, Jesus. Leave it alone. Okay. We're not going to change the standard to fit you. But that's the problem in the church today. We all of a sudden, we want to have adjustable standards. Adjustment to how I feel, how I think, how I want it to be. There's only one standard, and his name is Jesus. And we got to stay with that standard. Come on, I get an amen today. Well, Nehemiah realized that the standards of behavior had been either broken or ignored. That's a tough one. Yeah. Nehemiah was totally committed to the protection and the restoration of the walls and the gates that house the place where the presence of God dwells. I wonder how much you treasure the presence of God in your life. Or is Jesus just there when you need him? And when you don't need him, just like you just kind of shove him out of the corner. I'll need you after a while, but right now I'm doing good. I'm never without need. I need you right now. Everything I say, everything I do, every person that I am, Jesus, I need you. I want you to turn to somebody and tell them this. There's risk involved. There's risk involved. When you rebuild the gates of your life, there's risk involved because there's some things that you won't want to have rebuilt. You like them the way they are. There's some things you'll have to abandon that you've gotten used to. There's things you've allowed in your life that it's just so comfortable this way. Let me help you with that. Nehemiah was willing to put his life on the line to secure the walls and the gates that surrounded the things that were important. And believers must be fully engaged in the protection of the things that God from the influence and destruction of the enemy. I value the Lord. I thought I valued him, I should say, but I value him even more today because I'm seeing how much I've let the gates down in my own spirit for different things. I don't pray like I used to, I'm gonna be honest. But you know, I made up my mind, I'm gonna get better. He said, oh, I'm just fine. It's just right where I want it. But where does he want it? Like Nehemiah, we need to take an assessment of the vulnerable areas of the walls and the gates that protect your mind from the influence of the enemy. Now, a couple of things I want to tell you about this. The gates of our mind are the standards of protection. Everything you allow access to your mind is not always healthy. I don't want to get into the entertainment thing because that's such a why thing. It would take me too long to even try to explain that. But you already know there's some things you've allowed access that shouldn't be there. I'm not going to argue with you about that because your behavior and your lifestyle reflects what you allow in your mind. I'll just ask you what you've been reading or what you've been looking at. I can tell by the way you act. The gates will determine boundaries. Be honest with yourself. There are things you did not used to allow, but you now allow. My question to you, are you better or worse? Are you closer to Jesus or further away? Now, this isn't legalism, it's just reality. And the thing about it is, I would think that we would want ourselves to be alive in Jesus in such a way. Because I'm on my way to a destination of something that all of us can enjoy, but we got to go through the tough stuff for now. But we're going to end on a good note, so it gets there's hope. The gates maintain the principle and parameters of who and what we will all have we'll have access to our mind. Now let's get along onto this. It will take faith to rebuild what has been torn down, Haggai 2, verses 3 through 4, and then verse 9. Here we go. Who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory, and how do you see it now? I wanted to ask you, from the day you got saved, the day you were all excited and told everybody, and you all said, how is it now? Same excitement, same passion for God? How do you see it now? Or has it just kind of been enmeshed in all the other things that kind of going on in your life? And is this kind of like taken for granted? Let me get a little bit further into this. In comparison with it, Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Well, let me just stop right there for a moment, then I'll go to verse 9. I don't want anyone to leave here discouraged or downtrodden or feel like you've been beat up. But I can tell you, it can get better. You can be restored, you can be renewed, you can be revived. This isn't a guilt trip for you. This is an opportunity for you to take note of the things that need to make some major adjustment. Here we go, verse 9. The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former. In other words, God didn't just start this walk with you where you just kind of stay in this static state. You reach the epiphany of glory and this type of thing, it'll never get any better. Oh, no, we're from glory to glory, God is changing us. As you yield more of yourself to Jesus, you'll become more like him. I don't want you to park at that particular place. Oh, the greatest day of my life was when I got saved. The greatest day of my life is today, because today I'm not the same person as I was yesterday, nor will I be tomorrow. But from glory to glory, he wants to change me, and I'm obedient to that. Don't park at that particular place where you got saved. Allow the Holy Spirit to overtake you and show you more of Jesus that you want to be like. Somebody say amen, because that's what we ought to be doing. But the devil said, oh, that's too much. You're losing yourself. The person you once were, you're not even like that anymore. Thank you, Jesus, I'm not. Because if you only knew who I was, oh, God, help me. Okay. Says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. I'm taking that scripture for the context of what we're speaking of now. Is that God wants to make you better and stronger. Well, we must be willing to take an honest look at our present condition of what was and what now is. What was and what now is. I wrote those two things, phrases down. Is it the passion and the different things that may have been lost away, but what is now, what now is. And I want to tell you, it's an easy transition to get better than what it is now. All it takes is admitting it. That's all you have to do. I'm not as close to Jesus as I was, but today it's going to change. Is it that simple? Absolutely. It's not like you have to do, oh, I got to work my way through it. God's got this thing, I got to go through this. No, you don't. You decide today, and God will restore and renew you beyond your greatest expectations. Well, over time, the enemy will access our minds and take us directions that were directly contradictory to the plan of the Lord. That's how it works. The former glory of what the Lord had in mind can be overtaken by the things of the world. There was a terminology that I don't think is really gotten old. It's called worldly. It doesn't need a definition. It's just become world consciousness. You say, oh, I've been hanging around, but those folks are too worldly. What that means is basically they're taking their cues from things in the world. And the Bible says that Satan, the god of this world. So do you want to become worldly or do you want to become godly? Very simple decision to make. And so we want to become more like Jesus or the things that he's laid out for us. Well, Jesus has not abandoned us. The Holy Spirit desires to rebuild what has been torn down. Haggai 2, verse 2, verse 5 says, according to the word I have covenanted with you, when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear. I want to take this to the place that when you got saved, when you came out of Egypt, God is making a declaration here. When you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear. The day you came out of Egypt, the day you gave your heart over to God, God's spirit came into you. What? Every person here that names the name of Jesus, that called upon his name and asked to be saved, Jesus moved in. The Holy Spirit moved in. And he's the umpire of your spirit, and him, by allowing him his rightful place there, he will show you the things that belong and show you the things that need to leave. Well, let's talk about some of the deflective things that sometimes occur, because the Holy Spirit's desire is to redirect our focus. And that means simply, we need to get a real picture of the things that really matter. And what things really matter? Unfortunately, the world has this thing about making you believe things matter that really don't. You say, how does that work? They'll tell you, in order to be happy, you've got to be at this particular level of influence, level of income, level of whatever it is, and you will strive, unfortunately, for that particular thing because the world told you that's what you need. Now, some of you look at me, oh, I'm confused. No, you're not. If you're confused, you bought into it. Or is it the Holy Spirit that's telling you, if you seek first the kingdom of God, and what does the Bible say? And all these things will be added to you. You know that's a guarantee in the Bible that if you seek God first, everything you need and even beyond what you need will be added to you. But we're so busy trying to add things to ourselves that the Holy Spirit isn't ready. You're not ready for it yet. We do not have to be fearful of the process of rebuilding because we have hope in our future. Now, I want to take you to this next little phase here. Well, we must not allow discouragement of skeptics to impede our progress. Chapter 2, verse 10 says this. And when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite, officially heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. I want to tell you, the devil is mad. He's mad at one thing, that I'm preaching this sermon today. He'd rather you be ignorant. But I want to tell you today, God wants to bring you to a place where there can be change that will bring the glory of God into his rightful place. But Nehemiah had some people there that says, what's this Nehemiah character doing here? He's been praying and fasting and walking the streets and this type of thing. And he's just trying to get people all just stirred up for no reason. The walls have been torn down. Leave the walls torn down. Why? Because he wants access to us. Well, let's move a little bit further and we'll find out. Well, the world does not believe in the power of Jesus to rebuild broken lives. Now, let me ask a question here. Are any of you people here today that experienced the revival in the 60s? Anybody, raise your hand if you did. Wave your hand. Go ahead and wave your hand. It's okay. Uh-huh. Tell me one thing that you saw in the 60s that Jesus did. Just one thing. Somebody just shout it out. Anybody? Healing. What about people getting saved in the 60s? Anybody remember anything about that? Patty Lewis, you know what's going on in the 60s. Don't pretend like you don't know. What happened back then? Young people came in off the streets, didn't they? Remember those all-night prayer meetings we used to have? Where folks would come in at 2 o'clock in the morning and fall under the power of God. You remember that? Wave your hand at me and tell me that's the truth, because that's what happened. I want to tell you, there were things that happened that God, the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. Those days are not gone forever. God's about to do something that will blow your mind. But you've got to get a vision that God is still able to do that. They say, oh, those are from the days gone by. That's history. He's about to do something. Yes, he is. We must capture the vision of what the Spirit is revealing to us through obedience to rebuild by his direction. Now, I don't know if many of you have been into construction, but I've done a little bit of it and remodeling, this type of thing. Sometimes the only way to rebuild is to gut the whole house. Trying to rebuild on walls that are crooked, foundations that are unstable. Sometimes you need to get out the bulldozer. Get out that hammer, start swinging and knocking things down so you can start all over again. Some of you need a total remodel from the floor up. Oh, no, touch that. Oh, that's no, it needs to be tore down because it's leaning to the side here. But that's my favorite wall. That's the problem. Our response to the process of rebuilding is based upon following divine instructions, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And then I said, you see the distress that we are in. Now Jerusalem lies in waste. Its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. Hold that reproach for a moment. And I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words, so that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. I have a question for you. Do you want to build? Nobody said anything. Everybody's kind of like, yeah, I think we did. We should probably. We don't want to make you mad, so we'll say yes. What are we supposed to say? Yes. No. I want to tell you, rebuilding is difficult. You will confront things in your life that you think are really good and God says are really bad. That's got to go. But the rebuilding process is that when the product is done, you're going to see something that will bring glory to God. Is that what you want? Come on. Well, honestly and humbly acknowledging the condition of our lives will bring about change, and embracing the vision of the Spirit will help us tremendously. But I want to take you to a place now. The primary gate that must be up to standard is the sheep gate. This, you'll find this in Philippians, well, this that reinforces in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. This is what it says. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking upon the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. I want to tell you the very first place that you, if you want to have be rebuilt, is you must be willing to become a bondservant. Some of us, we want to be king. We want to be the man. The pathway to rebuilding is learning to become a servant. A servant is obedient to what the master tells him to do. And God is trying to get this servant attitude into us to transform us. And it says, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. If you want to be rebuilt, you got to be like Jesus. It mentioned death on the cross. Paul said, I die daily. And some of you need to be assassinated daily. In Jesus' name. Today I'm the assassin. And y'all need to die. That you may be alive in Christ and resurrected in the newness of Christ. Somebody say amen. Because that's what we need. Well, the first gate you need to be rebuilt is the sheep gate. Our mindset and standard for living is founded upon the sheep gate, where there are sacrifices are allowed at the entrance. I'm going to only mention three gates. I just have a few minutes to mention these things. First gate that was being rebuilt is the sheep gate. And in that particular community in Jerusalem, that was a gate through which the sacrifice came. What does that mean practically? It means this. Is the sheep gate speaks to us of the cross and the daily desire to die to the flesh, that which is going to die. We must have access to become as a humble lamb, a humble servant of God, that our life may be redirected toward him. We must live in the reality of the redemption of Christ that has atoned for our sin. Well, what does that mean? It means that it's okay that you don't get everything you want. But the fact is that I may be like him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That's what Paul's determination was. Quickly, two other gates I need to talk about. When we are living up to the standard of obedience to Jesus, we will want to find purpose in the fish gate. Nehemiah 3:3 says this. Also the sons of Hasenah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Say, the fish gate, what's that all about? Remember the part when Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men? It's called the enterprise gate, if you want to call anything to it. But simply put, I'll put it in terms that will help us. The Fish Gate is an example of enterprise and purpose. It's a primary calling as fishers of men. Thank you, Jimmy. Do you realize you only have one purpose? What? Your one purpose for everybody in this room who knows Jesus is to bring other people into the kingdom. What? I thought I was supposed to memorize the Bible and be able to quote scripture and this type of thing. And you know what? No, your first is this: go and make disciples of other men. Is that what Jesus said? He said, and go forth and memorize the Bible so you can win the contest. Your primary purpose is to bring other people into the kingdom. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And I'm going to help you do that. He said, I'm fine. No, you're not. He said, leave that gate alone. I'm not. It's the standard expectation of Jesus for us to go out and to make disciples. But I will move on because there's two others I need to touch real quickly. Believers cannot allow themselves to ignore the real calling, which is to bring people to Jesus. And intimidation is often thrust people on people who believe that the message of the gospel is not appealing or relevant to today's culture. That's the reason why we don't do it. It's not appealing. It's got to make, you know, put a little twist on it to make people more appealing for folks. There's a term they used to have for Christians being on fire. Some of you got fire extinguishers you bring with you all the time, putting people out. Don't make any. Don't go out with me someplace. I'll embarrass you. I will embarrass you. I promise you, I will embarrass you. Because we're sitting down having a nice dinner, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will come on me, and I need to talk to somebody about Jesus. Oh, Lord God, please. And you're praying against me. Lord, shut him up. Or you try to grab my arm. Oh, that's okay. Let's go over here. Leave me alone. Jesus, help me. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 6, it says, God desires that we build the old gate of our mind. Oh, this is good. Moreover, Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, the Meshullam, the son of Besodiah, repaired the old gate that laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. I need to tell you about the old gate just real quickly because I got to get to the very last one. It's going to help all of us. Simply means this. This gate is the one that stands with the old ways of truth. John chapter 14, verse 6. This is what he says. Moreover, 14, yeah. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the old gate. You know what Jesus is? Jesus is the standard. He's the old gate. It doesn't get better than that particular explanation of who Jesus is. If we really want to know what our life is all about, then we'll have to find some things that God wants to do in this particular sense. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we must go to the paths that lead to righteousness. It goes like this. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the what? Where the good way is. And what does it say? For the old, you know, that's kind of old-fashioned. No, it's not old-fashioned. That is righteousness, peace, and joy. Look for the old way. Don't try to find something to read. This is a new way we're doing things now. Are we better? No. We'll get you a little new way. Then you will find for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. That's where we are today. Well, that's too old school for me. I need my freedom. And where has it got you? I'm almost done. I know you are happy, but that's okay. The last gate. We must deal with the refuse gate to cleanse our lives for the sake of the kingdom. There were actually 12 gates. I'm only giving you four. Nehemiah 3:14. Malachi Malchiah, sorry, son of Regbach, the leader of the district of Beth Harsarim. You guys should have had to read this. Repaired the refuse gate. He built it, hung its doors with his bolts and bars. What about the refuse gate? That's the garbage gate. That's the stuff that needs to go out and never come back again. It's the purging of the Holy Spirit when he works in your life. But consider this. We must choose to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse our lives every single day. What about this? If we really want to know what our life is all about, listen to me, check your recycling bin. Want to know what your life's all about? Look in your recycling bin. Can I take a peek? Oh, no, Pastor. That's perfectly fine. You got empties in there that never should have been full. And I'm just talking about beverages. That's not the point. But there's some things that we bought and all the wrapping around it were things you didn't need in the first place. It took you away from Jesus rather than closer to him. Your recycling bin will tell your story. Choir, come on up here. I'm near about done. Matthew chapter 15, verses 11, 18, and 19. Here we go. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Let me start at 11. I'm sorry. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. I want to tell you and show you in just a moment how to purge your life. Psalm 19, verse 14 says this, that the words of my mouth, matter of fact, why don't you read that for me? Read that for me. Everybody stand up, read it again. Everybody stand up, read it again. Here we go. Let the everybody bow your heads and we're going to pray.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.